Assalamu alaikum. May the peace that only God can give be upon you.
Welcome to Bridging the Gap with Tariq El-Amin on Radio Islam. This is your host, Tariq El-Amin, and you can keep up with Radio Islam on social media by following and liking our pages on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Radio Islam USA. And use that same username to subscribe to the podcast wherever you get yours at Radio Islam USA. All right, folks, before we begin, we'd like to thank our sponsors, Recycle Processes and CIOGC, that is the Council of Islamic Organizations of Greater Chicagoland. You can get more information about the work they do at www.ciogc.org. All right, family, today's a conversation. Actually, I'm really kind of excited to have it just because I'm a sports enthusiast. I would not classify myself as a diehard fan anymore. But I am an enthusiast. I tune in, you know, the playoffs. I tune in, you know, when it's time for the Super Bowl, things like that. Football and basketball. And I will even watch the World Series, although I'm not a baseball player. That being said, some of you might remember the movie Moneyball. That was about the Oakland A's GM, Billy Beane. Basically, the guy had to put together a roster on a shoestring budget. Now, he had to get creative. So what he did is he met with a Harvard economist, and that meeting produced a completely new paradigm, a new way of sports using data. They used individual data statistics, on base statistics, and a bunch of other stuff that our guest is going to help us to get a handle on. He is a self-professed sports fanatic, right? But in addition to that, he is a graduate of Vanderbilt University, where he took courses in sports economics. Tariq Simpkins is joining us, and we are pleased to welcome him to the program. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam.
Yes, it's good to have you on. So this idea, I think back in the day, right, when I was growing up watching, say, the Chicago Bears, right, Walter Payton, you know, the Midway, the Monsters of the Midway, or the Bulls. Well, even prior to Michael Jordan coming along, statistics were not something that I remember us having conversations about. We talked about how people looked on the field or on the court. We talked about, you know, their moves, and we had an evaluation that was really based on what we saw. Talk to us a bit about how data has changed, or has that changed? That does data change the way we see our favorite players today versus, you know, 20, 30 years ago?
Absolutely. And I think statistics has always been there, just in different capacities. So statistics can be something as simple as how many three-point shots you make in a basketball game, mm-hmm. or statistics can be something as simple, complex as to other variables for ticket pricing for a, you know, personalized, I think, seating license or like a, you know, a season ticket holder. You know what I'm saying? So statistics were usually used for the latter, more business, et cetera, et cetera. And like you said, at some point, someone from the business side tried to use it for more of the player-friendly and player-specific activities. Baseball being one of the first ones. And now everyone's doing it.
Yeah.
And the reason why everyone's caring about it now is because it's how much more public things are used. Now, how someone might calculate ticket prices using statistics, you may not really hear about. But when you start talking about how people will compare Michael Jordan and LeBron James, or how someone can talk, you know, everyone's salaries are public these days, especially athletes. And athlete salaries are now scrutinized, not only in general, but also because of a player's production. You can look at someone's numbers or their stats, you know, and then right. say, like, you know, Bryce Harper is making, I think, a $390 million contract, $330 million contract over 13 years.
Yeah.
So he's set for life. But his statistics before and after he signed the contract across the board were higher before he signed for this amount of money, and now they went down after, which means that he probably feels a bit better about life and a bit less serious about baseball because he just signed a third of $1 billion worth of money that they have to give them under almost any circumstances.
Now, how much is that? How much of that is guaranteed? Do you know?
All of it. So football and basketball and baseball and hockey have different types of contracts. Mm-hmm. Another, you know, statistic, while in football, you have a lot more players. You also have a lot more, a lot less, I would say, guaranteed contracts. Mm-hmm. There, I think there's only been like a couple in NFL history. One of them was like Kirk Cousins. But generally, football players' contracts are not guaranteed. While basketball and 100% of baseball, like baseball, that money is yours the moment you sign it. Unless you, I don't know, like murdering the owner. Like you have to do something crazy in baseball. But for the most part, that's like your money. In basketball, you can be cut, et cetera, et cetera. You know what I'm saying? And even if you get cut, they owe you some amount of money, et cetera, et cetera. Like, you know, but for football, it's not the same. It's like game checks, and it's all relates back to whether or not the union in the industry won. You know, every single one of these leagues is unionized. So,
but baseball obviously has the better union, or the stronger union, at least in terms of player contracts.
Of course, yeah. I mean, I've never heard of a contract anywhere else. Like, you know, that's like a CEO contract, man. If someone's like, hey, yo, what if you work here for like 10 years for like $100 million? You're like, what? Like, you know what I'm saying? Right. Like these large, huge, like contract numbers. You know what I'm saying? And so it's just weird. But yeah, man.
So you mentioned the a debate that is definitely seems to be ever present amongst basketball fans. And that is the LeBron or Michael, right? And of course, it is disrespectful. I'm going to say it's disrespectful to have that conversation and not include Kobe or to include Kareem or Wilt, right? But for the sake of this generation's argument or the past couple generations' argument, I'll just leave it to Michael and Kobe and LeBron. From a statistical, do you believe the statistics should be taken into, how much weight do you give this the stats on that in that argument?
I think you have to look at statistics less as a finished product. So statistics is going to hold a heavier and heavier weight in how we compare things. So for any sort of debate, you're trying to figure something out, statistics are becoming more and more of the letters, you know, like a math equation. You know, they're soon, you know what I'm saying? And so, like, it's just statistics are going to get better. So right now, it's a lot. But eye test, I would say, if you can watch and understand the game, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, if you've watched basketball or anything casually for even 5 years, if you catch the game every day or every week or whatever the heck, for like a year straight, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, like you don't need much basketball, much of any sport to understand it. So the eye test will usually give you a general idea. And I think that's where most of the obvious and most of the information really is surface level. But as you delve down, you start comparing players like Wilt Chamberlain, who died a while ago at 63 and hadn't played even farther before that. We're talking about, you know, the 60s and 70s kind of guy. Versus like someone now like LeBron James, who even though it is his 17th season, it's about to be like, you know, be the year 2020. I mean, this has been like 50, 60 years since, you know what I'm saying, like the two played at the same time. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, that's people have, you know, whole lives have gone from start to finish. And so, you know, the eye test I would say is better just because you can actually see the difference and see how the statistics make sense. But statistics is only going to get better, and without diving too deep into it, statistics are used, and I think should be used, to explain and in conjunction with the eye test. The eye test can work without statistics. As a matter of fact, you can't get statistics without watching the game. I'll put it to you like that. But statistics are only going to get more important. They already are extremely important, and the primary reason why. It's because you don't have to watch the game or see the player or know the player to get an accurate assessment. You can watch the player and see the player and still mess it up. So statistics, you will usually almost always have an idea of how someone fits into a puzzle piece, while if you watch the game, you know more about how that specific puzzle piece is shaped.
But isn't that argument when the argument is put forth that X player is better than Y player, and we're talking about players who've played in two different generations, where, and then the statistics come up to say, well, you know, LeBron averaged more assists, or, you know, and I don't know if that's the case. I don't think so, but I would assume, actually, yeah, he has. But without looking at the fact that you're looking at two different eras, two different styles of play, different rules, and it's not the same environment. So do you think statistics are misapplied when you compare things that are not alike or performing in spaces that are not, you know, that have changed drastically?
Right. And as I said, statistics are always getting better. Just like any area, because statistics at this point is an area of expertise. You can get a degree in it.
Right.
Sports science, sports statistics, et cetera, et cetera. Like, if you want to be like a sports analyst or like statistician at like NFL, you can make like six figures.
Really?
Et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. You know, if you get like a PhD, you can make like seven figures, depending on which team works for any sport league. It's an ever growing, they're putting more and more time and money into it. And I preface that to say, and I use that as a preface to this statement. Statistics have changed as well. So back in the day, they never kept track of, they even keep track of certain things, blocks, steals, you know, et cetera, assists, usually with just points and rebounds.
Right.
You feel me? Like field goal percentage. You feel me? So like that was really like about it. And like, you know, free throw percentage. The 3-point line wasn't a thing, et cetera, et cetera.
Right.
So, you know, as things change, you can kind of sort of like factor them in. You can get better. So before it was just keeping track of like four or five different things. Then it evolved. And now we keep track of like a million different things, from free throw percentage to field goal percentage, to effective field goal percentage, true shooting percentage, which basically, those two things basically incorporate free throws, 3-point percentages, and they equalize them. Mm-hmm. So like the 3-point shot is worth, well, like three times a free throw, and it's worth 1.5 times a regular 2-point shot. So you know what I'm saying? So that way, and so now that's why we consider someone who shoots 37% or 40% from the 3-point line as like the casual fan. Like the eye test, you see someone shoot and miss.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? You know, you would see someone just like shoot and miss like 2/3 of the time. Mm-hmm. And in your mind, you're like, this is a terrible shot. You know what I'm saying? While a dunk, you see someone when they get to the dunks, you know, when they get to the paint and dunk it, it goes in like 90% of the time.
Because
it's a dunk. So like, you know, so your mind like, all right, clearly this is the more efficient shot. However, if the dunk goes in 90% of the time, that means out of, you know, like 9 attempts, that means out of like 10 attempts, you get like 18 points. Which is like extremely good. But for a 3-point shot, if you take 10 attempts, you can get as many as 30 points, not 20 points.
Right.
So if you got it, only thing you got to get is 18 points, you ain't got to make 9 threes. Only thing you got to make is 6 threes. And so you can afford to, you know what I'm saying? So basically, so 90% from the field is the same thing as like 60% from the 3-point line. And so, yeah, and so that's why Shaq shooting less than 50% from the free throw line was such a big deal when someone who was shooting, let's say, 60% from the free throw line normally cared about. Because if you get sent to the free throw line out of like a 2-point shot and you make 1 out of 2 and you get fouled more than 50% of the time, that means more than 50% of the time you're getting more than 50% of the points, which means that it kind of doesn't make any sense to foul you too much because, like, if you have a chance of missing the shot, let's say like half the time, except we foul you every single time and we give you a free throw that you make 1 out of 2 times every single time.
Right.
And that means that there's no point in fouling you because the points that you would just end up missing, like naturally, we're giving you via the free throw line. So we're kind of like breaking even and we're just getting in trouble for it. That's just not fouling you. While Shaq was so bad, he would miss both free throws. And so there's no point and just letting him even attempt the shot, because it's such a good chance he's going to go in if he attempts it regularly. While if he gets sent to the free throw line, there's such a good chance he's going to miss it. It makes sense. Why don't we see what it's like with like certain players? Yeah. And then with like Steph Curry, Trae Young, et cetera, et cetera. And so like you are able to compare all of these players easily, and it's like a change of mindset. The same way you might have to change your mindset to compare religions. It's something you have to change your mindset to compare people you like versus don't like,
right,
family
right.
members versus friends, et cetera. And so, like, you know, you get better at it over time. And the reason why statistics, that's once again, that's so important, is because you can look at Wilt Chamberlain, see his, no one's going to watch all these games from back in the day. Like some people are, I might, but, like, no one, the average man is not. The man wants
the casual fan. Basketball. No.
Yeah. Like, you are not going to watch, you know what I'm saying, thousands of hours of footage just so you can have a better idea and therefore opinion about something. You know what I'm saying? So, you know what I'm saying? So just so, you know, while like, if I can just give you this spreadsheet of numbers, that's where it all is. You know what I'm saying? So, you know, a picture's worth like 1,000 words, but like, you know, a couple numbers are probably worth a couple thousand pictures. You know what I'm saying? So you kind of got to look at it like that. So if I can show you Kobe Bryant averaged like 37% from the free throw line, I mean, 37% from the field, while LeBron averaged like 52% from, you know, the field goal, you know, field goal percentage wise, 52% versus 37%. Like, well, LeBron's a way better player, and this is where statistics have gotten way better. Before, you had to go to the eye test. Like when LeBron first got to the league, you had to go to the eye test. You feel me?
Yeah.
You had to see Kobe being dominant and LeBron being dominant, and then try to make an argument off that. Now I can tell you, like, yo, like Kobe took way harder shots. Kobe, you know what I'm saying? Kobe took way shots that were far away from the basket. Kobe's team at some points weren't as good. Some of Kobe's teams were way better than like LeBron. Different type of pieces, different type of players, you know, the different heights, different body sizes, et cetera, different opponents, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
But with statistics, the same way it takes me like half an hour to explain this, it is like 30,000 pages worth of stats. You feel me? I can like point to. And so when we have like a casual argument, I can say something like, well, Michael Jordan is the GOAT, because even though he couldn't shoot threes the same as Kobe Bryant and Michael Jordan did, he actually had a better three-point percentage than them during most of their seasons when he did take more than three attempts a game. His percentage went up, Michael Jordan, over his career, actually took more shots from the three per game, which means that the more serious he took it and the more he used it, the better he got at it because he was practicing it. So now we can look at his statistics. He hardly ever took three-point shots. All his three-point shots were usually fairly open or, like, completely contested, which means he took them because no one was, like, around him, or because, like, it was, like, a game-winning shot. You can tell how far away the opponent was, you know, with opponent distance to shooter, how far away he was from the back when he took his shot attempts, what time of the shot clock versus the game, what the score was. You can see all these stats. Now we keep track of everything. Now you can look, and I can tell you that Michael Jordan probably would have been a better three-point shooter. He probably would have been a better overall shooter, period, than Kobe and LeBron James. Even if you want to look at the eye test, Kobe was nice as a three-point shooter, but Mike's mid-range was like no one could mess with it. You feel me? So,
but you remember Mike said that somebody asked him about his I think it was one game when he scored. He shot like eight three-pointers.
Eight threes. Yep.
And he was like, look, I'm a better. What did he say? He said something to the effect that. Someone else, I think they were making a comparison. He's like, well, he was basically saying, I'm the three-point shooter I choose to be. That's not something
exactly.
that I choose to use as a part of my, you know, as a part of my repertoire. I pull it out when I want to. But if I chose to do that, then I could be as good a three-point shooter as anybody else in the game.
And that's exactly right. At least that's how I feel about Michael Jordan. Only because, I mean, like, I'm not even going to get into it. I'm like, we can really end the debate really easily. But, like, it's, but the point is that, you know, like, for instance, right, like, LeBron James.
Yeah.
Michael Jordan is good at scoring because that's what he wanted to be. Inside, at first, you know, getting to the hole as a younger person, as an older person, a lot of mid-range, a lot of really savvy moves to open himself up for a shot, post fadeaways, etc.
Yeah.
While, you know, LeBron built differently, played in a game that's a bit different as well, against different opponents, he's going to react differently. And so What statistics do is it doesn't equalize things, it makes them more equal. So what statistics, if you have to visualize it, mm-hmm. instead of giving you, you know, the eye test to look at two things and ask which one's heavier, then you can just put it on a seesaw. Now, it takes a lot of work to balance them out and to tell which one is actually, you know, how much things actually weigh using a seesaw.
Yeah.
But the seesaw is what, you know, it basically was a precursor to what we now know as the scale, you know, the weight scale, the balance, the et cetera. You know, what's that zodiac sign? The Libra? Mm-hmm. Whatever, you know what I'm saying? Those, like, yeah. you know what I'm saying, how people weigh things up now. So, you know what I'm saying? So I think that's where we are now. We're past the seesaw stage. We're not as refined as we need to be. Not nearly. And so, you know what I'm saying? So, but that's where analytics are now. And so you can get a general idea. And beforehand, when there was no way in hell in 1990 you could compare Bob Cousy to George the Iceman Gervin to, I don't know, Ben Wallace. You know what I'm saying? So, like, you know, you couldn't. But now you can. Like, now you can. You feel me? We know how. We know so much about him.
Here's a question for you, though.
Sorry. How it is.
Here's a question. Even with all of the different variables that statisticians are trying to include, they're trying to take account of not just the individual's performance, but they're taking account of the players around them, of the... Say if it's an outside, you know, sport, they're taking it into account weather, you know, field conditions. How does the advancements in sports science also factor into the performance of these players from different generations when you're trying to look at these statistics? Because, you know, those advancements are, I mean, they've made huge leaps, you know, in sports science and training, you know, in diet and equipment and all these different things that contribute to player performance. Is that something that is a part of that conversation?
All right. So let me ask you this. Let me ask you this question first.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of the questions you're asking are revolved around the sense that, are you asking me to prove if, analytics are a viable way to compare players these days?
Absolutely not. I'm simply asking.
It is a fair question.
Yeah. I'm not asking if analytics are a fair tool, right? I think that would be kind of ridiculous. But I think I'm going back to like some of the arguments that we'll have about players from different generations. And sometimes I walk away, I'm just like, okay, you know what? There are some things that are unknowable. And when I think about those factors that contribute to player performance, I don't know. As somebody who's not into sports science, you know, I read the stats when I'm checking out highlights and stuff like that. But I don't know if those factors are considered when some of those arguments are being made when they compare players from different generations based solely on their statistics.
I see. And yeah, once again, solely looking at statistics, you are correct 100%. A lot of people like to pick a side. You can't pick a side. Statistics are not standalone at all. You can't, there's no way. And the eye test we're learning now is also shouldn't be either. Like, you just can't, the human brain doesn't work like that consciously, I would say. Mm-hmm. Not unless like autistic or something like that, you know, like Brain Man out here. You can like watch something, see it, like keep track of it, and then compare it to something you're also watching or will watch, and then compare that. Like, it's just, so you know what I'm saying? So you need a calculator to keep track, you know, some spreadsheets, something to make sure you can jot some stuff down, some notes and blah. But, you know, the more simple statistics are what we use to argue these days. And now that's why people want to use sports analytics or advanced stats. But there are two different things. Before, I could tell you, man, look, Michael Jordan's way better because he had the ball like half the game. He made like half his shots and everyone was trying to beam up and guard him. While if you look at Magic, yeah, his whole team was a Hall of Famers this entire career. You know what I'm saying? Mm. He had, you know, one of the best big men. He was on a team with arguably one of the greatest of all time in Kareem.
Right.
You feel me? And, you know, he never had a jump shot. He never had a left hand, you know, et cetera, et cetera. And, like, you know, he wasn't that great of a scorer. He was more of getting, you know, more of getting assists. And he couldn't shoot. And, like, you could break it down and blah. And as a defender for his size, he was kind of sort of like LeBron James, where, like, you knew he could defend, except for, like,
yep.
He generally didn't, you feel me? Like, you know, that's like an important moment. You feel me? Like, that's the thing about, you know, statistics, too. Like, you know, it's like, you know, the last shot of the game, who do you want taking the shot? Steph Curry, Allen Iverson, or Kobe Bryant, or Michael Jordan? And it's like,
wow.
You know, and it's a tough question, because, like, you know, all of a sudden, someone who isn't a stats head has all these stats come into their mind. They don't think of the stats. You feel me? It's all about perspective. You know, you may not think of, man, I will give it to Kobe, but he probably took, like, a dumb shot. As to, you know, as statistics, shot selection, you know what I'm saying, is a statistic, you know. And so, you know, I would give it to Kobe, except for, I know Kobe would try and fade over, like, three guys from, like, you know, the two-point line, like, way deep, near, like, you know, near the logo.
Who would your pick? Who would your pick be on that, Tariq?
That's what I'm saying. We can just debate, bro. We can just pause the debate and pick out different parts, you know, and then get real meta with it. You feel me? Like, okay, this is why this sports, you know, statistic is being used, and see how you're saying this and that. So,
yeah.
But I would just, honestly, Steph Curry isn't clutch. Kobe Bryant's clutch, but he's takes bad shots. LeBron James is not clutch, I would say. He's just had so many opportunities to be clutch that he.
Yeah,
you've seen him deep. I mean, you take 1,000 shots, you're gonna hit a couple. You feel me? So,
yeah.
LeBron James is not really a shooter. It'll probably be Michael Jordan or Allen Iverson, but probably Michael, because Michael has a bigger size advantage, and the refs would probably mess with him more if he got fouled.
Yeah.
So yeah, man. You know, just look. You know, we actually look at it like that. Like, it was, you know, take a final shot, Wilt or Bill Russell. You got to go with Bill Russell, just because he just won a lot. You know what I mean? Yeah. Will was clearly the better player. Like, clearly the better player. But, you know what I'm saying? It was just the fact that, you know, like, Isaiah Thomas, to me, was clearly the better point guard. But, I mean, Magic Johnson, size and teammate-wise, you couldn't – you feel me? Like, just –
yeah, the physical attributes.
Teach. Yeah. And, yeah. And that's why, you know, and you know, and, you know, 6'9" is a stat. You feel me? Like, yeah. You know,
can't teach that.
You know, yeah, it may not be field goal percentage. You might not be able to change it, but 6'9" is a stat. And so, you know, that's where you got to look at a lot of this stuff. Yeah, man. So that's how I feel.
Last question. Do you think, or my perception is that fans are less casual. I know I mentioned that, you know, I show up around the playoffs. You know, the World Series and the Super Bowl and, you know, stuff like that. I'll show up around that. But those folks who are engaged in sports now, especially with the advent of fantasy leagues, do you think it's fair to say that there are less casual fans than there used to be because of things like fantasy leagues where folks are coming face to face with those statistics, and they have to utilize them, and they basically are now their own GM of their own team?
Well, I would say two things. First of all, getting people more involved in sports, from fantasy to video games to, you know, cards, et cetera, trading cards and memorabilia, like anything you can do to get people more involved and make it less of a fan, less of a casual thing. So, like, back in the day, I would argue that at some point you could only be a casual fan of certain sports, depending how far back you go.
Right.
You know, as time has moved forward, we just have more avenues. So I would say there are probably the same amount of fans, but, you know, the league has gotten bigger, better marketing. It's harder to not see it, depending on what sports you like or whatever. It's easier to play it as children. So many of us have had experiences playing these games. Well, you know, the year 1950, you weren't necessarily going out and playing basketball. You know, you weren't necessarily going out and playing football. You weren't necessarily going out and playing baseball. You weren't necessarily going out and playing, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you weren't able to play all these sports with all these types of people with the idea that I'm going to play the sport professionally or even in college, or even go to college. So things have changed.
Right.
Definitely. And so I think that has moved everyone towards being a more serious sports fan. Because, like, you look, it's just like a rule of thumb in life or something. Like, the moment you make something like, you know, you can gamble with it, the people are going to do it more often. You feel me? And so sports gambling has gotten, like, way more, like, lax. It's going to become completely legalized if it hasn't already, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, you know, maybe not under the table, but it's sports gambling is going to become legal. You already see it softly with fantasy leagues that you have to pay money to get into, pay money. You know, you get winnings, et cetera, et cetera. It's just more skill-based. Fantasy is a skill. It's guessing, but it's skill. The same with, like, stock brokers and things like that are a lot of a skill, but it's also it's a lot of luck, too. Don't let them say it's not. So, it's just how, you know, it's more ways for us as fans to do more than simply look at a screen or look at a court or look at a field, or, you know.
Yeah, yeah. Well, brother, I really appreciate you taking some time to talk with us about sports and analytics and sharing your perspective. And hopefully we can have you back on in the near future.
Yeah, man, I'm looking forward to it. Definitely want to talk to you more about this.
All right, family, our guest has been Tarik Simpkins. We thank you all for joining us for this conversation on sports analytics. If you have any questions or comments, let us know how you enjoyed the program. You can do so by giving us an email, producer@radioislam.com, or hit us on social media, Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. I'm your host and producer, Tarik El-Amin. Our executive producer is Abdul Malik Mujahid. We remind you that the views expressed by the host and or guest are theirs and not to be taken as a representation of Sound Vision Foundation. With that, we leave you as we greeted you. Assalamu alaikum. May the peace that only God can give be upon you.